My favorite Beatitudes is, blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. I think I've used about enough runway tonight. So open your Bible with me to the text that we used this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's verse number 9. 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and verse number 9. Will you stand with me, please, in honor of the reading of God's word? And I shall read after we pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful. Corinthians chapter 8, at verse number 9. Paul writes, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Thank you, and you may be seated. I want you to note the latter part of that verse this morning in the message, riches to rags. We showed you how Jesus left the wealth of heaven with all of its majesty, with all of its beauty, with all of its glory, with all of its refinement, and came to a sin-cursed world from riches to rags, to poverty, to nothingness. Not even a place to lay his head. Not even the money to pay his taxes. But I'm glad that God made a way in all of those areas. Now tonight, a sequel to that message, from rags to riches. Notice again the last part, for your sake. That is, for your sake and mine. Aren't you glad that God's mindful of us? Who we are, where we are, what we need. There's not one single thing that God doesn't know about you and about me tonight. He knows the bank account. He knows the department store account. By the way, he knows the stewardship account. I thought I'd just kind of throw that in. All of these accounts, you know, kind of go together. He knows all about us tonight. Who we are, where we came from, where we're going, how we're going to get there. For your sake, Paul says, he who was rich for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. I'm going to make a bold assertion tonight. I am a very wealthy man. My father owns all the real estate in Fort Worth, in Texas, in Tarrant County, in the United States, in the North American continent, all the seven continents of the world. He owns it all, and I am an heir of his. He said so in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Now watch this. And if heirs, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Everything he has, we have. What does he have? Well, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He owns it all. All the gold, all the silver is mine, God said. All the cattle on 1,000 hills belongs to him, and the hills as well. The deep places of the earth are in his hand. The strength of the hills is his. The sea is his also, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Come then, let us bow before him. Let us worship and kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. We are the sheep of his pasture. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God is a wonderful God. And he is dividing with us everything from rags to riches. Number one, we have exchanged the rags of our righteousness for the riches of his righteousness. Recall that verse that I used this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, to know that we have been made righteous in God's sight. Remember, all of our righteousness, Isaiah says, like a pile of dirty rags over here in the corner. Let me give it to you from Isaiah 64 and verse number 6, where the prophet said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. We have nothing to boast of. Our righteousness is imputed. imputed righteousness. You know what that means? That means to be accounted to us vicariously. We have the righteousness of Christ. None of us are perfect. But I kind of fell on myself tonight. You're loved, dear. The other day, my wife and I went into a hospital room,
intensive care room.
There was a woman that we had supposed was somebody else.
I mean, you know, when people are lying down, they look a little different from what they're
standing up or sitting down. You know that. And when they don't have on the makeup,
my stars, the difference it makes
when you don't have. Aren't you men glad that God gave us a face we don't have to work on all the time? But lying down and hair down and no makeup and teeth out,
and I went up to the bedside and said, "Hello, Mrs.," and called her name, and she went.
And I said, "Mrs., we're not going to stay long because we know you're not feeling well, but I want to have a prayer for you."
And so I prayed and called her name in prayer and prayed that God would bless Mrs. So-and-so.
Mrs. So-and-so is here,
and you know about Mrs. So-and-so, and kids just kept on calling her name. And my wife told me after she kind of peeked to see what was happening.
Can you imagine if she didn't have her head bowed and eyes closed when her husband, pastor, was praying over a woman very sick in an intensive care room?
And she said that the woman was just going
like this, because it wasn't Mrs. So-and-so.
It happened to be another woman.
So we went to the phone and called up and found out, and sure enough, the woman we were looking for had been transferred
out of the intensive care and was in another room.
None of us are perfect. None of us. Some of us lack a lot of being perfect.
But aren't you glad his righteousness has been imputed to us?
You've done some stupid things in your life as well.
His righteousness has been imputed to us, and we have been arrayed in the robe of his righteousness. And by the way, God's not going to alter his robe of righteousness to fit you.
He's going to alter you to fit his robe of righteousness.
From all of the rags of our filthy, ungodly, unchristlike, unwholesome, unclean, lascivious, sinful, sensual, lustful attire that we have, God has given us the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
From our rags of righteousness
to his riches. Number two.
We have exchanged the rags of hopelessness for the riches of hope.
Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 6 for a moment.
I want to read beginning at verse 17. Hebrews 6
and verse 17. I'm saying we've exchanged the rags of hopelessness for the riches of hope,
wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath,
that by two immutable things,
in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation,
who have fled for refuge.
Now here it is, to lay hold upon the hope set before us.
Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul,
both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered,
even Jesus, made and high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
The hope, ladies and gentlemen, that's set before us.
Our hope is not in Wall Street. Our hope is not in the stock market.
Our hope is not in the gold reserve or the silver certificates.
Our hope is not in Washington or Austin or in City Hall.
Our hope is in Jesus Christ, the blessed hope, looking for, Paul says, looking for that blessed hope.
And that hope is set before us tonight.
In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Paul says, Christ in you,
the hope of glory.
Christ in us. 1 Peter 1, 3, he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
1 John chapter 3, verse 1,
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.
Beloved, now are we the sons of God.
I don't like this idea. I've heard people pray, now, Lord, save us all at last. Now, at last, it'll be too late. I'm saved now. Just thought I'd throw that in. And if you're saved, you're saved now, and you'll be saved always. And you're just as saved as you'll ever be in your soul.
Now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know.
I like that word knowing. Not we pretend, we hope, we maybe, we think.
Peradventure, we know. We know that when he doth appear, we shall be like him,
for we shall see him as he is.
And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. We're as pure as he is because we have that hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
I dare not trust the Jesus' frame,
but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Where is your hope tonight?
What are you hoping for? What are you banking on?
What are you depending on? What are you trusting in?
Only Jesus, our hope. Looking unto him, the blessed hope, Jesus Christ coming again.
Number three, we have exchanged the rags of condemnation for the riches of justification.
Turn to Romans chapter 5
with me for just a moment. Romans, the 5th chapter. I want to read beginning at verse 1.
You know that verse. It says, therefore, being justified by faith.
There it is. Justified how? By works? No. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy
he has saved us.
Therefore, being justified by church membership? No. Therefore, being justified by baptism? No.
Therefore, being justified by faith.
Faith in his redemptive work upon the cross. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. But God
commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
And verse 9 says, much more than,
not just more, but much more than, being now
justified by his blood,
we shall be saved from wrath through him. Now look at verse number 18 in this same 5th chapter.
Therefore, as by the offense of one,
judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift
is upon all, came upon all men unto
justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners,
so by the obedience of one many shall many be made righteous.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound.
But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness
unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Justified by faith, justified by his blood,
by faith in his blood sacrifice upon the cross. You know, we're not simply forgiven.
That'd be good enough. We're not simply pardoned. That'd be good enough.
But we've been justified. Now let me give you an example. Let's go to yonder's state prison. Here's a man who is guilty of robbery, of murder, of arson. On and on it goes.
He's got a long list of sins to his account. And the governor issues him a pardon. And when the governor issues him a pardon, the state officials have to release him from that prison. He's pardoned. But wait. His sins have not been justified.
He still has that record. It'll follow him all the days of his life. But now, if the governor had it within his power,
to wipe out that record and justify this man and make him as though he had never sinned against the state of Texas. What a difference that would be. You know what God's done for us? He's not only pardoned us, but he's justified. And justified means, in simple everyday language, just as if I'd never sinned. So in God's sight, as he looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are justified. We are just as if we had never sinned against God. Justified by faith. Number four. We've exchanged the rags of human weakness for the riches of divine strength. All of us at our strongest are weak. Let's face it. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength. In Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In Isaiah 49:5, my God shall be my strength. In Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord shall be my strength. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I read in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then am I strong. His strength, not ours. In him, we're strong. In ourselves, we're weak. But we've exchanged all of the rags of our human weakness for the riches of his divine strength. Number five, we will one day exchange the rags of earth for the riches of heaven. At the best that we have here on earth, it's nothing to compare with what Jesus said he'd gone to prepare for us. He's the architect, the designer, the builder. We saw in our Sunday school lesson this morning that yonder Abraham, when God spoke to him over in the Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible says he went out not knowing whither he went. You know the kind of faith we need tonight? When God says go, we just go. Not even knowing where we're going. What difference does it make where we're going as long as he's leading? And Abraham didn't just say, well, now, Lord, if you'll show me exactly how everything is going to be when I get over there, and you'll give me all of the assurances, and I'll know exactly what to do and when to do it and how to do it. Oh, no, one step at a time. Abraham took one step, and God gave him grace to take another step. And by faith, he took one step, and God gave him grace to take another step. And he just kept on until one day he ended up in Canaan's land, the promise. And we're just walking one step at a time. Somebody says, well, if I just knew what the end was. Don't worry about the end, my friend. God's got the end. The beginning and the end. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. Just take one step at a time. And the Bible says that Abraham dwelt in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the promise. But he looked for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for a city tonight. Now, I know we live in cities, but these cities are corrupt. They're condemned. They're cursed. But we're looking for a city that's got foundation. A city. And by the way, the Revelation names all those foundations. Isn't that a wonderful thing, all 12 of those foundations? And we're looking for that city. And Jesus said in yonder's upper room, when they were perplexed, troubled, distressed, discouraged, anxious, worried, afraid. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Brother Randy, I tell the folks around here, I read some of these translations that say, in my Father's house are many rooms. That's not what the book says. By the way, if you don't know the difference between a room and a mansion, I don't want you for my real estate dealer. No way. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Heaven's a wonderful place. Prepared, perfect, pure, populated. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. A Can't build a cottage. Why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. Oh, the old songwriter said, my heavenly home is bright and fair, nor pain nor death shall enter there. You get there before I do. Look for me. I'm coming too. When I can read my title clear to mansions in the sky, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eye. And the Bible says there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away, and God shall wipe away all tears.